In Matthew 21, verse 23, we have the New Testament reference to the name of the Savior, which in many ways was the foundation of the entire program this evening. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God intended the whole world to understand the precious Hebrew name Emmanuel. I think that's obvious from the fact that that's the name. He adds, which being interpreted is. As I've indicated, Emmanuel is a Hebrew name, but the New Testament was written in Greek, the language of the nations. It was a language that would carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. And therefore, the Lord could show his great desire that wherever the word of God would go, men would know the name Emmanuel in its fullest meaning. He could show his desire no more clearly than by ensuring that its interpretation was accurately given. Which being interpreted? That's a wonderful assurance that Emmanuel is more than just a pretty Hebrew name. It's more than a mother's wishful thinking. We have heard of that already in the case of Eve. But this was not Mary's wishful thinking, but rather in the name Emmanuel, we have God's word for the world. As I thought on the name, I thought that it highlights four very simple but very sublime and glorious truths. First, the truth of the person of Christ. God. Obviously that is speaking of his deity. Let us never shirk our privilege and our duty to announce to the world the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us never give up one iota of the biblical record and testimony to the full deity of Jesus Christ. Let us not bow to the attacks of the cults or the apostates or the rationalists or other enemies of God and His gospel. But let us take sincerely and with a grip and a grasp that nothing can break the glorious biblical revelation, Jesus Christ is God. Let us rejoice in it, and let us tell it to the ends of the earth. For if Jesus Christ be not God in the fullest sense of that word, there is no gospel, there is no hope, there is no help, there is no salvation. There is nothing but the abyss of eternal hopelessness for you, for me, and for the world. But bless God, Jesus Christ is God, the deity of Christ. But Emmanuel says he is God with us. There are a couple of words in the Greek language that could be used to give, more than a couple actually, to give the idea of with. And of the two main prepositions that the Holy Ghost would choose or could choose, he took this one that has in it the idea of Christ with us in deep association. The idea here is certainly of company, But it goes much deeper than that. The truth is the truth of the humanity of Jesus Christ. God with us, not merely as a visitor. God with us, not merely as a supporter. God with us, not merely as a director or as a guide, but God with us as bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, veiled in flesh. The Godhead see, heal the incarnate deity. That is why in this great text there is the reference to the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that by the miracle that God alone understands, I can spell it out in words, but I have to confess I have no conception of how God can do this or any other miracle. But by the action of the Holy Spirit working upon the substance of the Virgin Mary, from her he produced a perfect and true humanity, which from the very instant of its inception was in personal union with the blessed Son of God. And of her substance and from her body the God-man came forth into the world. And in fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy that the virgin would conceive and bear a son, Mary brought forth her firstborn, Jesus, our Emmanuel. The long-awaited Messiah. Time forbids that we go through the Old Testament scriptures, some of which we have heard tonight, that speak of the promises of the Messiah and how they're all fulfilled in Christ. But here is the prophet of whom Moses spoke when he said, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee." Here is the prophet of whom Moses spoke. Here is the priest whom David predicted when he said, "The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." The priest whom Zechariah foresaw when he said, "Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and he shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both." And here is the King whom the Lord promised to set up in Zion when he said, "Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing?" Going on to describe how the nations set themselves against God and his anointed or his Christ. He then declared, "He that sitteth in the heavens will laugh. The Lord will have them in derision. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion." Here is the person of Emmanuel, our prophet, our priest, and our King. But Emmanuel speaks of more than that. It speaks of the purpose of Christ. No miracle of God is without a deep purpose. What is the purpose of the incarnation? Well, it's in the words, "with us." God with us. There is the purpose. And immediately you'll see it's a purpose of revelation. God was manifested or revealed in the flesh, as Paul wrote to Timothy. Jesus said in John 14, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." The purpose of God with us is a purpose of revealing God. And this is one of the great truths about the gospel. God is infinite. God is incomprehensible. When you can comprehend something, you can circumscribe it with your knowledge. It comes within the circle of your knowledge. It comes within the compass of your understanding. But God cannot be limited to the understanding of man. He is incomprehensible. But thank God, He is neither remote from us, nor hidden from us, nor unknowable by us. He may be incomprehensible, but He's not unknowable. Now that may sound a contradiction, but it's not. We cannot know everything about God, but we can know enough about Him to the saving of our souls. We can know what He tells us. And where will you find out about God? You listen to the Babel voices of this day. There are many theories, there are many theologies, there are many philosophies, there are many religions, each one crying out, "We have something to tell you about God." And they are all filled with idiotic nonsense. Indeed, I'll go further and say they are filled with satanic nonsense. There is but one who is the Word of God. There is but one who is the truth of God. There is but one who is the Son of God. And that is Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, who came to reveal God. And if you would know God, you must know Him in Christ. It's also a purpose of reconciliation. God with us. This is the reversing of the fall and of the alienation that came as the result of the fall. It's interesting that in the first book of the Old Testament, you have man driven out from God because of sin. The result of that, the very last word of the Old Testament, what is it? Curse. That's it. Malachi 4 ends with the curse. Man driven out under the curse. The first book of the New Testament, as our text indicates, deals with God coming down to man. With what result? When you get to the last book of the New Testament, you have God and man with blessing. Revelation 22 ends with the blessing of God. You see, Christ came on a purpose of reconciliation. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. And in order to do that, He came with a purpose of redemption. I thought of John chapter 3. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He sent Him with a purpose of redemption. Never forget that the birth of Christ can never be separated from the cross. That's one of the great tragedies of this season. People moon about in sentimental folly. They have little respect for the incarnation, but they like the sentimental trappings of the story of the babe. They think more about oxen in a stall, and they never go beyond it all to see that that babe was born to die. The blood of His circumcision at 8 days old was the guarantee of the blood of His crucifixion. It was the beginning of His bearing in His own body the curse of our sin. He came with a purpose to redeem. Emmanuel speaks then of the person of Christ and the purpose of Christ, and obviously of the presence of Christ. God with us. What a word that is. God with us, not against us. God among us. You remember the words of John the Baptist, "There standeth one among you," tragically, "whom ye know not." God with us, in association, in company. God with us so that we should never be lost. God with us so that we should never be lonely. And in all the great theology of the Incarnation, remember those two things. Here's the presence of Christ, a saving presence. He's come to be with us that we should never be without Him for all eternity. He's come to be with us that we should never perish. With us so that we're never lost. And with us once we're saved so that we'll never again be lonely. You've often heard the statement, "One with God is a majority." Well, that's one of those glib statements, you know, that people can say when they don't know what it is to stand alone. But if you were to take the testimonies of great men and women who have stood for God when all have been standing against them, if you take a man like Athanasius, in the church history you'll read the Latin slogan that summed up the whole life and ministry of Athanasius. Athanasius contra mundum. Athanasius against the world. Because it appeared that the world was against God and His Christ. There are other times when men and women have been called to take such a lonely stand, but yet the testimony of every such person is the very testimony of the Lord Jesus Himself. "I am not alone. The Father is with me." Our God has come to us in the person of His Son. The Scriptures tell us that He's with us in life. "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The Scriptures tell us He'd be with us in death. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." Why? "For Thou art with me." And the Scriptures tell us He'd be with us for all eternity. We've already had reference to the promise of John 14. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That is the essence of heaven. Again, this is one of those subjects where people wax eloquent about things of lesser value. You think of all that's said about the gold of heaven. The gold of heaven is so important that it's the pavement on which they walk. You think of how little it's said about the Lamb in the midst of the throne. How crazy people can become. I'm glad for the gold and the gems and the pearl-hung gates of the New Jerusalem. I'm as excited as anybody about understanding the mysteries of those things. But let me tell you, I think you'll be a million years in glory before you even notice that there is such a thing as a pearl-hung gate, because the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. What is the essence of heaven? God with us and we with Him. That brings me to the final truth that's in the name Emmanuel. Not only do we consider the person of Christ and the purpose of Christ and the presence of Christ, but we do well tonight to stop and think of this. There is a very specific reference to the people of Christ. God with us. There are people who know Christ And they have enjoyed the benefits of His incarnation. Now, let me make a statement here so that I'm not charged with heresy. Every man, woman, and child on God's earth, saved and unsaved, Christian and heathen, every single human being must, by virtue of being alive at all in the world, have some benefit from the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The coming of Christ, the cross of Christ, has the central purpose of saving a people for the glory of the Lord. But in accomplishing that purpose, there are many other purposes that are also accomplished, and every single person who lives in the world has some benefit. The very existence they have is because of Jesus Christ. Let's understand that. But having said that, there are many who come to know the gospel, who can sing the Christmas carols, who know where to turn in their Bible for the story of the birth of the Son of God into the world. And yet they don't come to any personal enjoyment of the saving virtue and value of Christ. We have those people represented in this meeting tonight. Some of you know Christ, God with you, and you are right with God through Him. Some of you know the story, but you don't know the Savior. Now, what's the difference? The difference is not in personal worth. It's not in personal talent. If you read the Gospel of Matthew, the opening couple of chapters, you'll find there are two kinds of people. On the one hand, you have Joseph, you have Mary. In the second chapter, you have the wise men. On the other hand, you have the leaders of the Jews, and you have King Herod, and you have the soldiers who went at his command to murder the infants in an effort to kill the Christ. Two kinds of people. What's the difference? The difference is that there are some who believed the name and the message, Emmanuel. When God came through His angel to Joseph, Joseph believed. When He came to Mary, Mary believed. When He came to the wise men, we know not how, in their far off land, they believed the story and the message, God with us in the person of His Son. And their faith in Christ was saving faith. Stop and think for a minute. King Herod heard all that the wise men heard, and he perished. Tonight, my friend, you must face the question. I said this morning, you can't hear what you have heard. You can't receive from the hand of God what you have received and make no response. You've got to face the question, am I among the people of God? What a tragedy to know the gospel. God with us in the person of Emmanuel. Yet for you to go away without knowing Him, go away to be lost without Christ. I trust tonight, as we have heard again in reading, in song, and in study, the message of Emmanuel. You'll recognize the superlative grace of God. You'll come as a sinner on bended knee, cry to Him, Lord, include me among your people. Make me a child of the King. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray.
just a moment the meeting will be over. Think carefully. Think deeply. Could I indeed challenge you to think of these things at all? The last thing in the world the devil wants a sinner to do is think. The way to hell is the thoughtless way. Consider that God has sent His Son, and then consider what you will do with Christ. If I can help you in the things of God, I'm here as your servant for Christ's sake. Make sure tonight that you don't leave without Him. Father in heaven, we do rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the virgin-born Redeemer. We thank Thee that Thou hast interpreted for us Thy great name for Him, the name Emmanuel. We thank Thee that Thou dost intend us to take from the very name of the Savior the great good news of grace. Lord, carry this message to all our hearts, to build up Christians in their faith, to rejoice the hearts of those who already by faith know the Savior, and to reach out to those cold, dead, resentful of the very intrusion of the gospel into their lives. God, speak to sinners and save them by Thy grace. Take our thanks and answer our petitions. And as we leave this house together, let us do so in the knowledge that Emmanuel has come. We ask in Jesus' name, and for Jesus' sake. Amen.